You're listening to Shalise's podcast.
Father, I thank you for these Word of the Month broadcasts. And I thank you for just the prophetic. I thank you for the Holy Spirit. I thank you for the mind of Christ. I thank you for your heart, Father. And I thank you for your desire and your longing for us to walk in sync with you and for us to partner with heaven to release what you want released. And I thank you, Father, that what you mainly want released is us, Father. You want us to walk in the fullness of our union with you. You want us to experience the fullness of the Godhead. You want us to be filled to all of the fullness with the full measure and the infinite pleasure that is in your presence. And Father, I thank you that today, as we hop into this broadcast and I share what you've been speaking, I thank you, Father, that Shalise has just left the building. I thank you that you are thinking through my mind. I thank you that you are speaking through my mouth. And I thank you that this word is going forth unhindered and unchecked by any outside force. We just get on your agenda. We surrender and we say yes to what you're doing. Yes to what you're speaking. Yes to your agenda for our lives. And we just give you all of the praise and all of the glory and all of the thanks for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, awesome, you guys. If you have not listened to the Word of the Month for the year that I did back in January or the Word of the Month that I did for February, I encourage you to go back and make sure that you're watching those or listening to those so that you are staying in step really with kind of what's unfolding, I feel like, as God continues to speak over 2023 and as we head into March here. And so just as a brief refresher, I want to give some context here to what we're stepping into here into March is, you know, back in December, really winding down 2022, I was really hearing God speak the word divine reset. And I go into a lot of detail about what that divine reset means in the word from January. So I'm not going to recap it really here or really talk into it, but I want to just kind of remind you of kind of this progression that we've been going through since really December. And then in January, there was a very powerful part of that word as well as divine reset, which was really the word for the year. And it, the word was, the best is not yet to come, it's now. And for you guys that have seen that, you know, there was an actual glory cloud that showed up in that word from January. You can go back and watch it. It's at the timestamp of 2820. And literally it just, bam, popped into onto the screen and kind of, woo, the presence of God was there and it was really powerful. And I love that. First of all, anytime, you know, there's a manifestation of God, I love that. But I also just loved it because I felt like, number one, I wasn't prepared for that, but it was just such a confirmation that this is a right now word, that the God is moving and that this is, that he's serious about what he's saying, that the best is not yet to come, it's now. And then coming into February, really, we started talking about the power of our words and the power of agreeing with God. And really this invitation to begin to watch our words. And the theme of that word was basically to mean what you say and say what you mean. And I don't know about you, but that was a real like check, you know, for me to like really put a guard over my mouth and just really start to steward my words and really yield to the Holy Spirit in my speech really more than ever before. And, you know, practically what that looks like, you guys, is that you don't just respond to text right away. You pray over those things, or you don't, you know, you really think about and you contemplate about what you're speaking before you just blurt things out. And so our words are creative, and it's a very, very powerful principle. It's a very powerful truth. And hopefully that has made a difference for you guys as you've kind of stepped into that. Now, before we go into March, I really felt prompted by the Holy Spirit to talk about really the power of hearing from God and the power of getting these prophetic words and chewing on them and meditating on them and really taking them before God in your own time, you know, not just hearing what I'm saying and just going like, oh, amen, hallelujah, another prophetic word, and then move on to the next one, but to really, really take some time with these words so that they become your own, so that the Holy Spirit can continue to speak to you about these words and how they apply to you in your life. Because here's the thing about prophetic words. I mean, the Father loves sharing what he's doing. And Jesus talked about this, right? Jesus talked about, like, you know, the Father works and hitherto I work, and he shows the Son what he's doing. And the Son only does what the Father is doing. And so the beautiful thing about the prophetic is that it's not just, you know, something that we get excited about, something that we, you know, say yes and amen to, and something that we just kind of, you know, think about it like another, you know, lesson that we've heard or another sermon that we've heard. But really, it's an invitation. It's an invitation to enter into what the Father is doing. And so every single word that I've shared up to now, there's a revelation behind this, you guys. And there's massive revelation in what I'm going to be sharing today. And so I'm hoping that I'm going to be able to just, I probably have some drawings that I'm either going to try to do by sharing my screen. Oh, actually, I'm on Facebook Live. I can't share my screen. So I'm going to have to describe some visions and some drawings that I've been getting. I have something in my journal. Maybe I'll try to show it on the screen and see if that works, but we're just going to go into this. And I'm really believing that God is going to impart a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you, in the knowledge of him rather, and the knowledge of you. Heck yeah, because you're one, which is kind of interesting because that goes right into the word for the month. So rather than just kind of announce what the word is, I'm going to start out with this concept of who you are. And because this word is all about us stepping in to who we really are. Okay. And the reality of it is, and I think most of us, I don't know if we have a working concept of this, or I know we know this on some level most of the time, but I'm not sure that we have a really practical way to apply this idea that we have, I want to call them two identities. And these identities are really, really key to us stepping into the fullness of what God has ordained for us to do on the planet. These two identities are really key for us living a life that is a reflection of the Father, and us living a life of really, I don't know, of emotional stability, where joy and peace and love and righteousness and patience and kindness and gentleness and all of the fruit of the Spirit are manifesting in our character and manifesting in our relationships and manifesting just in our internal world on a consistent basis. And so when I talk about these two identities, I mean, scripturally speaking, right, we have the old man and we have the new man. Okay, so, you know, we read about those scriptures, right? Put on Christ, put off the old man, right? We have a concept of this idea that there's this old us, or this old person that was crucified with Christ, if you will, right? And the Apostle Paul says, I was crucified with Christ and I no longer live, yet Christ lives in me. He's talking honestly about these two identities. He's talking about this this identity of Paul, which was crucified. And then he's talking about this new identity of Paul that is living in union with God. And so these two identities, the old man and the new man, I want to break this out a little bit, because if we're going to understand where God is taking us with this word in March, I really need to do a little bit of teaching around this so that you're going to grasp it. So the old man, if you want to think about it in terms of psychology or other maybe streams of spirituality that are out there, I think it's actually very helpful to do that. So if you hear someone talking about the ego, for example, that's kind of a more secular term or more psychological term that I actually think has a lot of validity when you're talking about the old man. Because when people talk about the ego, they're really talking about a self-image or an identity that a person has developed over the course of their life. And in scriptural terms, may want to think about it as kind of like a programmed self, or a self-image that was developed in the fallen world system, that where a person has picked up beliefs along the way to answer the question, who am I? Okay. And we all have a self-concept that has been developed pre-Christ, pre us hearing the gospel, pre us even understanding that there was a new creation and that we were recreated in Christ and that we were crucified and buried and raised and ascended with Jesus. And so the reality of it is that this identity, this ego, this old man is still alive in our minds. Until our minds have been renewed, right? And this little sucker, right? I mean, pops up, right? I mean, unless we in the morning, wake up is what I like to say. Like, yes, we wake up in the morning, but unless we really wake up to our true identity in Christ, well, that old programming can govern your entire day, right? And because, we're fearfully and wonderfully made, you guys, our brains are incredible, machines. It's an incredible thing, you know, that God has had the way that God has designed our minds, right? We have a conscious mind. We have a subconscious mind. We have the way that our minds are connected to and hardwired into our neural pathways in the hardware of our actual physical brain. And then we have, you know, our nervous system. We have our, two aspects of our nervous system, our on switch and our off switch, right? Our parasympathetic nervous system and our sympathetic nervous system. And we are truly, if we are not awake and we don't know how to get to awake and know how to stay awake, we will live under this illusion of the ego. We will live under this old identity and live out of the old man just by default, just by habit, because that's the way that we've lived our entire lives. And so we're disconnected from spiritual reality in this old man, right? Our spiritual senses are not operating there. We're governed by the physical senses. We're governed by our own intellect. We're governed by triggers, and we're governed by the programming, and our neural pathways are just firing meaning all day, every day, right? We're judging things based upon our past and the meanings that we've been taught. We've been programmed, and I talked about this in January about all of the different programming that happens there, right? And I talked about if we're going to actually experience this divine reset, if we're going to actually live as a new creation and live as a resurrected human being, as someone who is in union with Jesus, then it's actually important that we understand that there are two versions of this image that are honestly many times at war within ourselves. And, you know, some of our Bible translations don't do a really great job of translating this concept, specifically like in the NIV, for example. If you go and read in Romans chapter 8, like it's gonna read like we have this sin nature and this new nature. We have this dual nature. And the truth is that we don't have a dual nature. We have a dual mind. And the nature of God is inside of us. Sin has been extracted from us. We are no longer sinners. We are saints because of the resurrection and the finished work of Jesus on the cross. But the truth of the matter is that the old man is still alive in our brain. The old man is still alive in our minds, even though it's been crucified. And so this word that I'm about to share is really to help us transcend the old man. It's really designed to help us get out of that programming and live from a place of the spirit and live from the reality of our union with Jesus when we all are still in the process of having our minds renewed. So hopefully you're following me so far, and hopefully this is making a lot of sense, and hopefully this is something that you're like, yes, Shalice, we want to hear what God is speaking about transcending the ego and transcending the old man and putting off the old man so that we can live in this place of freedom from the old man and freedom from the old programming and freedom from these mindsets of the flesh and the mindsets of the old world system, right? That is in the process of passing away. How is it passing away? Because human beings are going to actually transcend that. And we're going to live independent of the world system and independent of the programming of the world system. So let me introduce the title of the word for the month of March. And it's kind of interesting because it's not good grammar. And if you are, you know, if you've been involved in Emerge and our school before, or if you've read my book, you know about the five big Q's. You know that the very first Q is, who is God? The second Q is, who am I? The third Q is, why am I here? The fourth Q is, where am I headed? And the last Q is, how do I get there? And those Q's, those questions are foundational in the work that I do, which is really to transfigure the body of Christ so that we are living out of our new identity and we are doing the work that the Father has given us to do. But I'm sharing that because that second question, who am I, is really the question that March's word has to do with. But Father reworded it, okay? And it became a question that is not who am I, but he said this, who is I? Who is I? And the reason he reframed that for me, and we're going somewhere with this, you guys, so bear with me. The reason he reframed the question, who am I, to who is I, is because you can answer the question, who am I, from a separated mindset, right? You can even say, I am a child of God. You can say, I am favored by God. You can say, God has made me righteous, that God has redeemed me, right? That I am the redeemed of the Lord. Like, you can actually answer the question, who am I, scripturally, and still maintain separation in your mindset or separation in your perception in the way that you answer that question. But when you switch that up a little bit and you change the question from who am I to who is I, okay, that's a different question. Because the question who is I is really kind of pointing back into that scripture from that the Apostle Paul spoke of, right? That I have been crucified with Christ and I no longer live. Yeah, right? There's this I in here that we need to really dissect a little bit. And to give you an example of this, okay, I want to just share something that happened to me this week. Okay, I had this dream on Monday that honestly is a recurring dream. And honestly, it's not a great dream. And I've really been pressing into this dream because I know it has spiritual significance. And I know that things are they're not literal in this dream. Like, the people that are represented, it's not the real, it's not really about those people. And I don't have a lot of revelation about it yet. And it's something that I don't think about a lot of times until I have the dream again. Anyway, I just had it again on Monday. And honestly, when I woke up, there was anxiety. I had anxiety. This dream was like an anxiety and producing effect on me. And as I laid there, you know, before I got up in the morning, normally I'm going to spend some time, you know, before I get up, just like thanking God. I'm going to try to just step into gratitude. I'm just going to, you know, acknowledge the Holy Spirit just before I even get out of bed in the morning. But because that anxiety was there, I was like, okay, Father, I'm talking to Father, but I'm like, okay, so what do I need to do with this? And you know what? Gosh, as a transformational coach, I have a gazillion tools, okay? I have a gazillion tools of how to shift your mindset. I have a gazillion tools of how to, you know, shift out of negative emotions into positive emotions. And sometimes I just don't even know which tool to use. So I was kind of asking that from a perspective of, okay, like, how do I shift this? And I was just kind of running through the list of the tools that I had. And I landed on something that honestly I used to do in my 30s when I was just really dealing with a lot of anxiety. It was actually a problem. I had been on medication for that previously in my life. And so I just, anxiety was a constant companion for me. And I talk about the testimony when I used the scripture. I used one scripture really to knock that thing off of me from 2 Timothy 1:7, you know, that it says, you have not been given a spirit of fear, but a power of love and a sound mind. And I mean, I'm telling you, I used that scripture as a sword and cut that anxiety with the help of the Holy Spirit off of me in my 30s. But that, you know, that scripture came right back to me, except that I said it as a declaration. So I'm just sitting there in bed and I just said, I have not been given a spirit of fear, but of power of love and a sound mind. And man, as soon as I entered into that scripture and really just said it from a place of like, I have not been given a spirit of fear, I heard the Holy Spirit speak to me, and he said this. He said, "Who is I?" Now, interestingly, in that moment, the revelation came to me that up until that moment, even though I had meditated on that scripture and I had declared that and I had successfully really in my mind, like, you know, I really did like overcome this habitual state of anxiety in my life that I was experiencing in my 30s, I never really thought about this from a union perspective. And in that moment, when I said, "I have not been given a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and a sound mind," it's like the light bulb went off, and there was no I that was anything that you could identify as Shalice in that moment. Okay. It was really like Jesus saying, "I have not been given a spirit of fear I've not been given a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and a sound mind." And honestly, kind of enter into this with me that, well, of course, we don't even think about that. Like, of course, Jesus doesn't have a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and a sound mind. But somehow, up until that moment, even though I'd used that scripture effectively, my I definition of I was an I that was still separated from God. Okay, so this question, who is I wanted to use that example because this I is what God is coming after in our minds in March, you guys. And there is a very powerful way of living and a very powerful way of transcending the old programming and the ego that can happen instantaneously. And I want to also, before I talk about this, you know, just ascending outside of an I that no longer exists, an I that has been crucified, out of the ego I, out of the old man I, out of the I that most of us relate to when we think of ourselves, okay? I want to share a little bit more revelation for you before I kind of step into this. And maybe we'll even, you know, at this point, I don't even feel like I'm prophesying so much as I'm just sharing the background information so that we can even tap into what I really feel like God is saying right now. Okay. So what I want to do is I want to introduce something called levels of consciousness. Okay. Now, you guys have heard me, if you've listened to my podcast, talk about self-consciousness, and you've heard me talk about Christ consciousness, or if you heard me talk about righteousness consciousness. Okay. And I've used that term consciousness in my podcast in the past to compare and contrast self-consciousness that really arises out of this awareness of a self apart from Christ. And Christ consciousness or righteousness consciousness is a consciousness that arises when we are aware of our union with God and our oneness with God. So this is not necessarily that this idea of consciousness is not something that I've never talked about before, but I actually want to come at it from another perspective today. And I want to talk about four levels of consciousness that we are operating all of the time. Okay. Now, the very lowest level of consciousness, and we're going to also talk about how these, before I go into that, we're going to talk about how as you go up and raise your consciousness, you raise your awareness, you raise the mind that you're thinking with, okay, that you move out of a separated I into an I that is one with God. And you answer, so these levels of consciousness are somewhat of an answer to the question, who is I? And what, who is I? Like, what I am I operating out of? Okay. And when I say I, you guys, I'm talking about the capital letter I. I'm not talking about our eyeball, you know. So the first lowest level of consciousness, you guys, is called to me. Okay. It's called to me consciousness. And the second level of consciousness is called by me consciousness. The third level of consciousness is called through me consciousness. And the highest level or the fourth level of consciousness is called as me consciousness. Okay, so we have to me, by me, through me, and as me. Let me say it again. We have to me, by me, through me, and as me. And so I want to take a moment just to describe each one of these levels. So to me is a person who is operating in what I want to call like a victimhood consciousness. It's a victimhood mindset. And this is a place where the world is just happening to you. Circumstances are just happening to you. If you were in a river, you would be drowning. The river would be overtaking you. You are at the effect of circumstances and situations and really what's going on in the world. Okay. And that is a very powerless place to be. It's obviously a separated place to be. It's a place where you are definitely perceive yourself as a victim. And the primary emotions that you're going to be feeling here are things like blame, things like anger, things like shame, things like guilt, things like fear, things like anxiety. Those kinds of emotions go along with a buy me paradigm and a buy me level of awareness and consciousness. Okay. Now, as you move in up the scale here, the next level, which is buy me, is much more powerful than to me. Okay. So now you've come out of victimhood and you're taking some responsibility. Okay. And you're letting go of blame. And now you're coming into this place where now I have power. Okay. I have power. And now I can make a difference. I can make a change. Right now you kind of come up into this achievement consciousness, right? And you know, there's scriptures, you know, that can go along with this, right? I'm more than a conqueror in Christ. You know, you can use, you know, declarations even to kind of empower yourself into this by me consciousness. And, you know, things like courage are going to come in. Things like, confidence are going to come in. And even things like pride are going to come in at this level. But here's the thing. Now the world isn't happening to you. The world is happening by you. So now you're in control. You're the one. You're the master of the ship. You're the one that's determining your destiny. You're the one that's showing up. You're the one that's working. And it's one of these things, like if you don't do it, it's not going to get done. Right. So there's a lot of energy that goes into this by me. Right. And you're just working. You're saying if you're doing Christian disciplines, right, you're in your devotional every single day because dang it, it's going to be up to me. It's up to me if God blesses me and I'm going to be speaking my declarations and I'm going to be doing these things because if it's going to happen, it's up to me. Right. And there's a lot of, you know, the control is really in you and you're having to control things when you are in by me. But now let's talk about like what happens when you move up again and now you're moving into through me. Okay. Now, if you're going to move into through me, you're going to have to let go of the need to control. Okay. So that means that it doesn't mean that, you know, you're letting go of full control of in any way, but it is more as it just the need. You let go of the need to control. And so this is a place of surrender. And this is a place where you start to realize that, wow, I'm created in God's image. I have a connection with God. I am a vessel for God, and that now I can operate in the gifts of the Spirit. And I realize that things are creating through me. I realize that that not only am I not a victim, but I don't have to be in control of things. Like I can just get on God's agenda and I can do what He's doing. The Father is working through me. And it's a Spirit-led level of consciousness. And it's a very powerful place to live. And definitely in this place, you know, you have, you've just surrendered. And so if you were, let me go back to the river analogy, right? So if you are in to me and you're drowning in the river, right? Well, when you move into by me, you're swimming in the river now, right? You're swimming and you're probably swimming upstream, babe. You are swimming. I mean, the problem is with by me, it's exhausting. So at some point you kind of, and you know what? You get taken back downstream. Okay. Now, when you get into through me, oh, guess what happens? Wow. You got an inner tube now. Right. You're sitting in your inner tube. You got your drink with your little umbrella in it, got your shades on. Right. And you're letting the river take you where the river's going to take you. Now, granted, there may be twists and turns in the rivers and not everything's going well in your life. But guess what? You have a completely different world paradigm as well. Let me talk about that for a moment. So into me, you are definitely in a warfare paradigm. Okay. And what do I mean by that? Einstein had a question one time, and I think it's a brilliant question. And he said, one of the most important questions you will ever answer is whether you live in a friendly or a hostile world. And I can tell you, as someone who grew up in church, and, you know, of course, I grew up in more traditional denominations, then I moved into more charismatic denomination or charismatic things. And, you know, that warfare thing is really programmed into you in most Christian circles, right? We're in a war, you know, we're fighting the enemy, we're fighting the devil, it's a spiritual battle, blah, 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 blah. And honestly, that paradigm is not aligned with the true gospel, because if God was in Christ reconciling the cosmos to himself, and I've taught a lot on this, you guys, if God was in Christ reconciling the cosmos to himself, well, then that means that, and if creation is moaning and groaning for the manifestation of the sons of God, and if all things are working together for our good because we love God and we're called according to his purpose, Romans 8, right? Then guess what? The cosmos have been reconciled. Like, Jesus is the cohesive force of the universe, it tells us in Colossians. Okay? He's holding up all things with the word of his mighty power, it tells us in Hebrews. So, I mean, the world has been reconciled. Like, Jesus is the cohesive force. Jesus is, you know, what maybe New Agers would call, you know, universal intelligence, or, you know, they don't maybe know him by the name of Jesus, but there is, quantum physics is discovering this, you guys, discovering the observer effect, that human beings have an effect on creation, that creation responds to human beings, and that here's the thing, there's a conspiracy, but it's not a conspiracy for, you know, Damien and the Antichrist. It's a conspiracy for the manifestation of the sons of God. And the world is conspiring for us. And so this paradigm shifts as you come out of by me, and you come out of to me and to by me and into through me, where you start to realize that, wait a second, all things are working together for my good. And so I can relax in the river. And if the river does twist and turn, well, guess what? It's perfect. It's perfect for my destiny. It's perfect for who I'm becoming. And when I say I'm becoming, it's perfect for the revealing. It's perfect for the transfiguration. It's perfect for the upgrade in my thinking. And it's perfect for who I'm here to be, you know, because it's like the eagle that rises in the storm, right? Or it's like Jesus who's crossing over in the storm. The storm just reveals Jesus. The storm just reveals the glory that's inside of you. The challenges and the tests and the trials are just simply the method through which the glory gets revealed. And so we can relax in through me, and we can let the river flow, trusting that everything is perfect for the next level of manifestation and the next level of transfiguration. Of, we're going from glory to glory and faith to faith. We're the manifestation of you as a son, as a child. But I mean, when I say a son, I mean a mature, someone who's grown into the fullness of the stature of Jesus, because you believe it and you see it and you know it and you're being it. You're being it. Okay. Now, so this river, right, is a great analogy. But now let's talk, because this is really where I want to spend my time today, because I had to go through all of this just to get you primed so that you can hear what God is speaking. Okay. And this is, well, let me just keep going. So at that highest level of consciousness, right? It's as me. Okay. And this as me means this is oneness consciousness, you guys. This is where you have come into a place where you are aware and you are conscious of your union with Jesus. And it is no longer you that's living, but it is Christ in you that's living. It is the thing that when Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. The Father and I are one. It's what the Apostle John was talking about when he said, as Jesus is, so are you in this world. I mean, you have left the realm of self-consciousness. You have left the realm of duality. You have transcended this distorted image, this old man image that still lives in your brain somewhere, and this ego part of you, and you have now transcended into a place where it is as me. But and let me say this, like, this is can blow your circuitry to some point, because, you know, there's a part of this that comes in, like, well, who am I to say as me, like, who am I to you know, propose that the Father and I are one, and that now as I'm speaking, I'm not just speaking as Shalise, but I'm speaking as Jesus. Well, you guys, what do you think prophecy is? I mean, what do you think when Jesus said, my words are spirit and my words are life? Like, he said, the words that I speak are not my own, right? What do you think it means when, what is spirit-filled prayer, actually? What does it mean to be filled with the spirit? It means that you're out of your human mind, that you're out of the ego, that you're out of the old programming. You know, you're filled with the spirit. The spirit has taken over your thinking. The spirit has taken over your personality. The spirit has taken over your consciousness. And you guys, at this level, okay, you are the river, okay? You are the river. The river of life that comes out of your belly is flowing through. It's not just through you, it's as you. And so this question of who is I, you know, we need to really, really like get a handle on that. Like, wow, I no longer live. I no longer live. Okay, now, hopefully you've got this. Now, let me just say one other thing here about this. And I'm just going to talk about this from a frequency standpoint. And I'm going to talk this from about this from a productivity standpoint, just because it's practical. Okay. Like, if I was to draw a graph right here, I actually did draw one in my little journal, but if you're listening to this, you won't be able to see it. And I don't feel like the Facebook Live is going to be able to see it that good either, but this is my little graph. So you know that I actually have it. And this graph basically has, you know, if I was to draw it here with my finger here, it just has the four levels on the vertical axis, right? So you've got to me, then you've got by me above it, then you've got through me, and then you've got as me kind of going up the vertical axis. And then what I've drawn on that is just some frequencies, because you guys, our emotional state and our state of mind is measurable. Okay. Every emotion has a frequency. Okay. Shame vibrates at like 25. If you talk about in megahertz, right? Like they can measure these things. They can put electrodes on your head and they can measure your brain waves, right? They can put electrodes in your heart and they can measure the energy from your heart. And so when, you know, if I start to talk about energy, don't freak out, because energy is God, right? Energy was made by God. You know, he said, let there be light. Light is energy. I mean, quantum physics and science is now, you know, obviously we know this, that all things are comprised of energy. Human beings are made of light. We're light. We're light. We're light. We're light. So I'm saying that because, gosh, there's a lot of things that I could talk about this, but each one of these states of being, each one of these consciousness has a frequency. And guess what? The frequency rises the higher your consciousness goes. So these low level ways of being, playing victim, being in control and having to strive and work for everything it's higher than to me, but it's still not very high. Okay. But then you get into through me, and you get into unconditional love, and you get into joy, and you get into the fruit of the spirit. Right. And then you get into as me. Okay. God, this is the frequency of heaven. This is the frequency of God. This is the frequency of Jesus. This is the frequency that heals. This is the frequency that changes frequencies. This is the frequency where you start operating the gifts of the spirit. These are very, very powerful truths. And the reason I want to bring it up is because, you guys, as we think in our heart, as we vibrate in our heart, if our thoughts are measurable through frequencies, as we vibrate in our heart, guess what? We are emitting frequencies into the world. We are emitting energy into the world. And a person that is vibrating at through me and I and as me, guess what? The higher frequencies transform lower frequencies. They transmute this stuff. You can shift a whole atmosphere in a room. One person, I wrote this down, one person, one spiritual person, or one high frequency person can lift an entire room of low frequency people. Okay, I wrote this down. One person who's calibrating at an as me frequency can create an entire movement, can impact the world for generations. Okay, so these consciousness is also these identities, these ways of being aren't just about an I. Okay, this is not a selfish thing, because when you get into the I that is Christ and you get into an as me state of mind, let me tell you, You are a change agent. You are change agent. You are now Jesus, you know, as I like to say, in a chalice suit, right? You are now Jesus in a Bob suit, in a Betty suit, wherever you go. A move of God is wherever you are. Okay? And this is the thing, you guys. This is for everybody. Okay? This is for every single person on the planet that has been redeemed by Jesus. This is our potential. This is why Christ in us is the hope. It's the potential of glory. There is so much glory, so much potential when we elevate into the reality of oneness with God. There is so much glory on this, and there's so much transformation in this. So much, so much, so much, so much. So, okay. Now I want to get into the word for March. Okay. This is crazy because I feel like I've talked so much and I haven't told you yet, but I want to read a scripture before I do, because if I'm going to introduce this piece, then you got to hear this. So let me go into it. I'm going to go in the Passion Translation, just because I love it so much. Let me go into Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. No, this is not what I want to read it in. That's New Living. Okay, that's why. Okay. All right. I knew it was all yellow. That's how I know. Okay. It says this. It says, Christ's resurrection is your resurrection too. Christ's resurrection is your resurrection too. Okay. This is why we are to yearn for all that is above. For that's where Christ sits enthroned at the place of all power, honor, and authority. Yes, feast on all the treasures of the heavenly realm and fill your thoughts with heavenly realities and not with the distractions of the natural realm. Verse 3 says, your crucifixion with Christ has severed the tie to this life. And now your true life is hidden away in God in Christ. And I just want to say your true self, your true I is hidden away in God in Christ. And here's what it says in verse 4. And as Christ himself is seen for who he really is, who you really are will also be revealed. For you are now one with him in his glory. Okay. Now, I think a lot of times when we think about resurrection, okay, I know we have resurrected bodies that are, you know, coming. Okay, I get it. I get that the resurrection is a real thing. The resurrection of the human body is a real thing. I also know that, I also know that some people don't ever die. Okay, I know Enoch just was carried up. Okay, and he's not the only one. He's not the only one. But let me just say this. Resurrection, Jesus said, I am the resurrection. Okay. Jesus had some really powerful I statements. When Jesus answered the who is I question, you know, Jesus is like, I am the salt. I am the light. I am the way. Okay. He also called us the salt, right? Maybe it was us that he called. I'm getting a little bit high in the spirit this right now. So I've got to come help me, Jesus. Okay. But the point is, that resurrection is also now. Okay. This isn't even if you think about it as a future reality. Okay. I'm going to read you just to kind of give you an idea of this. Cause see, the Apostle Paul tapped into something. He talks about it in Philippians chapter 3, and he talks about it in the Amplified version. I like the way the Amplified version talks about it. So let me go into this really quick. Philippians chapter 3 in the Amplified version. Okay, let me go in here. Okay. Now, I want to go in the Amplified Classic. It probably reads the same, but just in case. Okay, let me get it. It says this. I want to start reading. I'm just going to start in verse 10. It says this. For my determined purpose is that I may know him. Okay, he's talking about Jesus. That I might progressively become more deeply and intimately acquainted with him, perceiving and recognizing and understanding the wonders of his person more strongly and more clearly. and that I may in the same way come to know the power outflowing from his resurrection. Okay. He says the Apostle Paul's determined purpose, you guys, was to get a revelation. He wanted to know, and that Greek word is gnosko. I mean, that's like an intimate knowledge. And I love the way the Amplified Classic Version kind of, you know, explains that. This gnosko, he says that I'm going to progressively become more deeply and intimately acquainted with, perceiving and recognizing and understanding. Okay. He's describing a consciousness here, you guys. He wants to be acquainted with it. He wants to perceive it. He wants to recognize it. He wants to understand this Jesus. And then he also wants to understand the resurrection in the same way. He wants to become more deeply, intimately acquainted with it. He wants to perceive it. He wants to recognize it. He wants to understand the resurrection, you guys. And he says this too. He says, so that I may share in his sufferings. Okay. When we think about suffering, you guys, we always think, oh, the Apostle Paul suffered so much for the gospel, but that's not the suffering he's talking about. He's talking about the crucifixion. He wants to also gnosko. He wants to become more deeply acquainted with, perceive and recognize the crucifixion. He wants to understand the revelation of what actually happened to him. What happened to creation? And this is why the Apostle Paul was able to articulate the gospel, and he had third heaven experiences, you know, because his determined purpose was to have an awareness of this, to understand it, to recognize it, to be acquainted with it. He wanted to understand the person of Jesus, the glory and the wonder of this person, because it was a reflection of him and a reflection of humanity. And then he wanted to understand the resurrection, because there's power in this. There's power in what happened in the resurrection. And then he wants to understand the cross. And then he says this, as to be continually transfigured. Okay. It says in spirit, in his likeness, even to death, in the hope. And this is why he says why. He says, I want to know all this. He says, in the hope that if possible, I might attain to the spiritual and moral resurrection that lifts me from out among the dead, even while in the body. Okay. Like, I have spent lots of time in these two scriptures, because first of all, they blow my mind. I love the Amplified Classic, because it really tells, to me, it just gives you an insight into Paul and what enabled him to rise and elevate to this place of as me consciousness, and this obsession that he had with the gospel and what happened to him, what happened to humanity, what happened to the cosmos, what happened on the Calvary, what happened in the grave, what happened when Jesus, bam, comes back to life, what happened after 40 days when he ascended. Like, this thing is deep. And the Apostle Paul straight out says, like, I'm after resurrection while I'm still in the body. I'm after this. I'm after living like a resurrected human being pre-death. I want to do it while I'm still in the hope that while I'm still in the body. And you guys, when I go back to Colossians on, it says Christ's resurrection is your resurrection too. Okay. Christ's resurrection is your resurrection too. Okay. What God is speaking, you guys, over March is that we don't have to wait for the future. We don't have to connect to if we're going to connect to the future, we need to bring the future into the now. Okay. Like, it's kind of like we need to connect to the past, the crucifixion, and we need to bring it into the now. Like, there is a mystical reality here of what has been done to us by Jesus, by the Father, by the Holy Spirit. And it's meant to be now. It's meant to be now. That's why the Father could say in January that the best is not yet to come. It's now. Okay. It's not yet to come. It's now. And, you know, we look to church history and we look at mystics that have lived in the past, we look at revivalists that have lived in the past, and we look at the things that they have accomplished. I mean, whether it was, you know, saints of old that were levitating, or whether it was saints that couldn't be killed, like you'd chop their heads off and they'd hold their own head while they were still preaching the gospel, right? Or whether, you know, that we go to the Bible, right? And that somebody would fall on Elisha's bones and then, you know, they come back. You know what I'm saying? Like just crazy manifestations of things. And we look to these things and we study these things. And I mean, you know, even in modern times, right? We look at Catherine Coleman, or we look at these other people, we look at these Christians, these saints, and we just go, wow, look at what they were walking in. And honestly, you guys, I personally believe that the majority of these weren't even hearing the gospel of oneness the way that I think it's even available today. They didn't have quantum physics. They didn't have the things that I'm sharing about. They didn't have a lot of the knowledge and the access to history and the access to scripture and the access to multiple Bible translations and all of the information that we have right now. And yet somehow they walked in these things. I mean, I think it's just through revelation of the Holy Spirit, obviously through, I mean, John G. Lake, right? I mean, went into these villages where there were, you know, pandemics going on, not maybe a pandemic, but epidemics going on. And, you know, there were plagues going on, wiping out entire villages. And he walks in and he's like, I'm immune to this, right? Did you get the vaccine? I don't need it. I am the vaccine, right? And they take some of the saliva and they put some of the germs or whatever it is on a little slide and they put it under the microscope or however they look at it. And the thing, as soon as that disease touched that saliva of John G. Lake, it just died immediately. Like there is a place of living as me, you guys. There's a place where I no longer live, where the ego and the old is no longer living, and that this resurrection power is alive in us to such a degree that we are elevating the frequency of entire cities. Okay. We are elevating neighborhoods. We are elevating, like there's a move of God happening. And we look to the moves of God that are happening, and they seem to be happening independent of us, but they're happening because we are vibrating heaven on earth. You know, I remember reading a story one time by Benny Hinn that he would say he would just get in the car to go to the Colosseums, and miracles were already breaking out in his meetings, right? The frequency was just already so high. Like there's so much potential here. And so for March, what I'm wanting to say is like, it's time for the resurrected you to be you. It's time for the power of the resurrection to manifest in you while you're still in your body, to manifest in your identity, to manifest in your consciousness, to manifest. It's time to elevate. It's time to elevate to as me. It's time for, if you look to the future and your future self is you're resurrected in heaven with Jesus, walking around glorified. Well, you know what? It's time for you to be the future you now. It's time now. And the only thing that's standing between that and the manifestation of it is our consciousness. It's our awareness, you guys. It's our ability to transcend the programming, to transcend the old man, and just be in the presence of God and just make the enjoyment and the fellowship and the presence of God the place that we're living. It's the atmosphere of our mind. It's the atmosphere of our consciousness. And our frequency raises as our awareness raises. And you know what? Awareness is so powerful. Awareness is so powerful. I mean, even science is proving that now. I don't have time to do a physics lesson here because I'm almost coming up on the hour, but you guys go Google the observer effect. Go look at the double slit experiment and learn a little bit about the power of human observation, the power of human consciousness, the power of our focus, the power of our ability to transcend. And you guys, we transcend these levels. How do we do it? We transcend it through awareness. You know what? Just simply being aware of these four levels of consciousness raised your awareness. It elevated your consciousness. Just hearing this today elevates your consciousness. Just hearing it. Just why? Because you're focusing on it. You're hearing it. You're aware of it. And all of a sudden you start to rise. You start to connect to the presence of God. You start to connect to the love of God. You leave the realm of the ego. You leave the realm of the old programming and you begin to transcend. You begin to elevate your consciousness. And it's time. It's time for the body of Christ to come into a place of Christ consciousness. It is time for the planet to actually see what it means to be a Christian, what it means to be alive in Christ, what it means, what the resurrection means for the human race. It's time for there to be demonstrations of what is possible. And I know that it's happening. I'm not saying that it's not happening, but it's not happening enough. It's not happening consistently. It's not happening far and wide in ways that the potential, right? The hope of glory is more. The hope of this is greater than we've experienced. And you guys, this is what the Spirit is doing. The Spirit is raising the consciousness of the globe. The Spirit is raising oneness consciousness, raising our awareness of our oneness with Him, of this resurrected being that we are. That we're resurrected, that we're just like Him. We are one with Him. We're not just like, even the language has to shift. And it's funny because when you start to talk in the language, I mean, yesterday I was, oh my gosh, I was in my podcast and next thing I kind of go into this prophetic thing and I'm like saying, I was like, and I'm God, you know, I was prophesying as God, but it's like, even then you catch yourself. I was like, oh, if someone's just tuning into the podcast, it's almost like I had to like explain why I was saying I'm God. And I'm telling you, can people get off on this? Totally. I mean, can people get into this thing where they think they're God and they end up in the mental institution? Totally. It happens. Like, I please understand that there's a mystical component of this, that the Trinity is three in one, that the body of Christ is many, but we're one. We're members of one another. Everything's entangled. Everything is entangled in this mystical union. You know, we're one with one another, and this is mystical. I mean, it doesn't mean that we're distinct, but we're still one. It's a mystery, you guys. So this isn't elevating you to the, as soon as you try to explain it, you water it down. And so I'm just going to leave it. I'm just going to leave it the way that I've shared it. And, you know, the future resurrected you is now. And the Apostle Paul and these scriptures are a picture. And honestly, church history is a picture. Like, there's so much potential in this, you guys. And so the thing to do here is just to, like, you know, go, okay, Jesus, I give you my awareness. I just surrender control. I just give you my awareness. You can have my awareness. And trust me, the Holy Spirit is so in this. Like, the same thing that happened with that dream, and the same way I woke up with a little bit of anxiety, and He just asked me, who's I? Who's I? Like, when you get the I right, when you get the I right, like, man, the river is instant. The river, you just in the river. You're in the river instantly. And so, I know this is a little bit of a deep word, but I pray that you guys get it. I know we have people at all different levels that listen, but I just know that it's going to be whatever it needs to be for you. So yeah, Father, I just release, the fruit of this word in people's lives, however it's supposed to look, however that's supposed to feel, however that's supposed to manifest. And I just thank you, Holy Spirit, that you can do whatever you want to do with it, because you know what to do with it and how to do it and how everybody needs you to do it. So we just give you all the glory and all the praise and all the honor. You're so good, Holy Spirit. And we just thank you that we are one with you. We thank you that we are truly resurrected, that we are truly alive, but we're also truly dead. And I thank you that that old man's just, woo, just, you know, falling away, just like a little distraction, just falling away. And that, wow, this whole new reality is opening up for people, that this new way of being is opening up for people, God, that it's a present reality right now in this moment, in this moment, in this moment, in this moment, in the next moment, in the next moment, in the next moment, God, and that there's just this elevation happening in people's homes. There's this elevation happening in people's families. There's an elevation happening in people's workplaces. There's an elevation happening in their communities, in their neighborhoods, God. Thank you that it's happening in our schools. Thank you that it's happening, man, in all of the places that just needs to happen. And God, we thank you that we're just, that, yeah, just there's a, man, there's a new vibration. There's a new vibration that's hitting this country, that's hitting the globe. as your bride consummates, and as your bride just comes into that place of ganasco with you, of knowing you, of experiencing you, of perceiving you, of acknowledging you. Yeah. And I just release this, Father, into wherever it needs to be released. Yeah. And I thank you for the manifestation of it. And we give you all praise. We give you all glory for it in Jesus' name. Amen, you guys. Well, awesome. Awesome, 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 awesome. I said a lot, and I guess I'll end it with who is I, right? I mean, I went back and forth on what to name the word, but I think who is I is where we're going to land, because I really think that it does kind of single out this definition of I. So God bless you guys. I bless you as you enter into all of that, and bless your week. And just can't wait to hear what God does as a result of, you know, you kind of meditating on that and watching it do its thing. All right. Love you much. God bless.
Thanks for listening to Shalisa's podcast. This recording is, in part, made possible by our listeners. To partner with us, visit shalisa.com. where you can donate and help us spread the good news of our unshakable union with Christ around the globe. You can also find a link there to download Shalisa's book, The Path, for free. And if you're ready to discover the call of God on your life and the purpose He created you for, then visit us at shalisa.com and watch Shalisa's free training, where you'll hear 5 keys to hearing God about your life purpose and transitioning into it. Thanks again for listening. Until next time, don't forget, the world needs the Christ in you.